Hanukkah Sameach. I hope you're all well. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedula Chemincha, Tatir, Tzerura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yotav Tzadi. The Gematria of the six first letters is 506, which is equal to Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufreshayan Sintet Nun. And there are two letters from the month of Kislev, the Samach and Gimel, which together have a gematria of 63, which is the gematria of the tetragrammaton Yudke Vavke at the level of Bina. The six letters Kufrei Shayin Sintet Nun spell two Hebrew words, cross Satan, which means to tear up the Satan, to eliminate the negativity. The same letters can be rearranged to be Sha'ar Katan, which is small gates, and reminds us to keep guarding our gates, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth, our gates to the body, that is the entryway for the negative forces. Na gibor dorshei yichudcha kevavat shamre. Nun gimel dalad yud kaf shin. Two three-letter sequences. Nun Gimel Dalad is the gematria 57, which is the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance, which is the fulfillment of our lack. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that takes back the energy that we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchen tacharem rachamai tzidkatcha tamid gamlem betetresh tzadi tafgimel chasin kadosh birov tuvcha nael adatach. Et kuf bet, tet nun ayin. Yachid geye, lamcha penei, zokre kedushatach. Yud gimel lamed, pei zayin kuf. Sequence of six letters, which helps us speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah through this, the sixth millennium. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea talumot shinkufav tzadiyud taf. The last four letters, vav tzadiyud taf, has the same gematria as the first six letters, which is 506. Which is the essence of unconditional love. And it teaches us that the creative process needs to have love at each step of the process. Shin and the Kuf, the first two letters of the seventh verse, represent 400, which is the four worlds times the 10 times 10, the 10 spherot, which has 10 spherot within each of them, a perfect vessel. And the fulfillment is Ahavat, is love. Ahavat Hinam is the fulfillment for the vessel. We can use the six letters of the seventh verse to manifest our desires in our physical life. And the last verse, the eighth verse, which we say in a whisper, which we refer to as being silent. Does anybody have any questions before we start reading from the Zohar tonight? I'm starting to read from the Zohar, section 17, which is entitled, "And the Thing Which He Did Displeased Hashem." We're starting with verse 181. And this is explaining, or enhancing, our understanding of the two children of Yehuda who married Tamar, first heir, and then Onan did the process of Yibum, the process of going into his brother's wife in order to bring the soul of his brother, who died childless, back into the world. This is a part of the process of reincarnation. It's part of the mercy of Hashem. Rather than the soul being lost forever, because there's no continuity to that soul, it's not perfected, that soul is allowed to reincarnate through the process of Yibum. The nearest male relative marrying that woman and bringing the soul of the dead person through her to be their child. Today's world, we don't have that, because on the one level we're limited to only one wife, which is usually too much for most men anyway, and so there's the process called chalitza, and in Israel today it's not understood except on the physical level, and it just seems to be an old custom that nobody really understands. But it's really so that the family of the dead man usually holds the wife up to ransom, pay us in order to do chalitza and free yourself to be remarried to someone else. But what they're really doing is blocking their own son, the soul of their son, from coming back into the world. This wisdom is so needed in our world. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenehu. Vayera be'enei Hashem asher asa. Vayamet gam oto. Rabbi Chiya patach baboker zara et zaracha. V'la'erev al tanach yahadcha v'gomer. Tachat ve'kama itcha zele lebar nash le'izdachara. Mechovo u'izdachara. Be'ovado kameh kuchabarichu. Sagin de kama shalichan, de kama memanan, inun bialma, de inun nazlin, veshatan, vechaman ova dechon, divne nasha, de sachadin alo, de kolab sifra, ketivin. And the thing which he did displeased Hashem. So he slew him also. Excuse me. Bereshit chapter 38. Rabbi Chiya opens the discussion with the verse, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. A verse from Kohelet chapter 11. Come and see. It behooves man much to be careful, lest he sin and be heedful in his actions before the Holy One, blessed be He. For there are numerous messengers and chieftains in the world who roam about observing the deeds of man and bearing testimony of him, recording everything in a book. The Tachatze, the Kali Nun Chovin, Ista Baho Barnash Bahai Alma Daihu Chova Ista Be Barnash Yatir Bahai Alma Uva Alma Diate Mandioshid Zare Bere Kanya Diapek Zara Lamagana Bida O Beragla Ista Av Bekima deyat amer kilo el chafetz resha ata lo yegur ha ra. Come and see, of all the sins that defile a man in this world, that which defiles him the most in this world and in the world to come is spilling his semen in vain. Letting it out in vain by the hand or leg brings impurity on man, as it is written, for you are not an El that has pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. Psalms chapter 5, verse 183. Begidla alif argoda velachame sever ape atik yomin gimaditaninan ketiv haka Lo yegur ha ra uktiva yehier b'kor Yehuda ra b'enei Hashem uvgin kach ketiv yedechem damim aleihu zaka'a holake dabar nash tedachel l'mare v'hei nitir me'orach b'isha v'yad ke garme Vayishtadala deitchilu demare. He therefore does not come inside the curtain of the Holy One, blessed be He, or behold the presence of Atik Yomin, as is learned from the verses, nor shall evil dwell with you. Tehillim chapter 5. And Er, Yehuda's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of Hashem. Bereshit chapter 38. Both verses indicate that he does not behold the face of Hashem. Hence it is written, your hands are full of blood. Isaiah chapter 1, which refers to letting semen by the hand, which is likened to shedding blood. Happy is the portion of the man who fears Hashem and is guarded from the evil path, and purifies himself to be occupied in the fear of his master. The idea of relating the wasting of semen to blood is all of the semen represents your children, or your potential children. And since they do not have a proper vessel to be grown in, to be created, they die. Well, there's no death in spirituality, but all of the semen, which could have been children, means that those children have to go through a different process, and it's considered as if you killed your own children. And that's what the idea of shedding blood and likening the wasting of semen to shedding blood is about. Kachatze baboker zera etzarecha chaykera ukmucha baboker dahu bezinad devarnash itkayam bechele vihevi ulemo kedei nishtadal leolada benin beitta dechazyale diktiv baboker zera et zarecha. The verse in the morning, sow your seed, Kohelet chapter 11, has already been explained. The morning is a time of man's strength and youth. He should then strive to beget children with the wife appropriate for him. According to the verse, in the morning, sow your seed. Have children when you're young. Marry young, relatively young. Have children, raise your family, because the mitzvah is to be fruitful and multiply. The mitzvah is to bring children into the world. Verse 185. Deha kedein zimna ihu, gadi kedchitzim biyad gibor, kein b'nei hanurim, Begindi Akil Lemelach, Leho Arho, Dekuchabarichu, Vihele Agra, Tavale Alma, Teate, Dikivashre, Hagever, Ashemile et Hashpato, Mehemlo Yavoshu, Kida Bru, et Oyavim Bashar, Lo Yavoshu, Bechahu alma, bezimna demare chon, tedina yetun vekatrega, alo delet lach, agratava, bechahu alma, bechahu deolif, leilivre dechilu, demare bearvo deoraita. Then it is his time to beget children, as it is written, as arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of one's youth. Psalms 127. Then he is able to teach them the ways of the Holy One, blessed be he, and to receive good reward for the world to come, as it is written, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Psalm 127. They shall not be put to shame in the world of truth, when the accusers bring accusations on them. For there is no better reward in that world than the reward of he who teaches his child the fear of Hashem in the ways of Torah. Tachatei ma amar bi Avraham, diktiv ki yedativ, lema'an asher yetraveh, et banav ve et beto, achara v'shamru derech Hashem, v'asot tzedaka u'mishpat, al dahahu zeku kaima, lebehahu almad legabe, chomere chon dedina. Come and see, it is written about Abraham, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Hashem to do justice and judgment. Bereshit chapter 18. This merit stood him well in the world to come against all accusers. Verse 187. Ugin kach baboker zera et zarecha le'erev al tanach yadecha afilu b'yomei d'zikna dihu zimna desiv barnash. Ma'ketiv altanach yadecha la yishbok milot la da. V'chayal ma tama v'gindila teda. Eze yikshar avze oze lifnei ha'elohim. Begin de yukst bikumun, begine behahu alma. It is therefore written, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand. Kohelet chapter 11. Even in old age, called evening, it is written, do not withhold your hand from begetting children. Why? For you know not which shall prosper, whether this of that. Before Elohim, and which will defend them in the world of truth. This verse in the Zohar, and I think it's, I know it is also repeated in the Talmud. The essence of the message is that a man should have children in his youth, and if he becomes a widower, and is able to remarry, he should also try to have children in his old age. And the reason being is he doesn't know which set of children will be the more righteous. Verse 188. V'yaldaketiv hine nachalat Hashem banim. Da tsuro ra de nishmata, sitra de alma de ate, ulhai nachala manzake, leile varnash le ala, behahu nachalat Hashem, baniminun benin, zakan leile nachalat, Hashem vialda zaka'a, hahu barnash de zake, lon le yohlif. Lo narco, teoraita, tkima di itmar. Hence it is written, lo, children are the heritage of Hashem. Psalms 127. This is the eternal life, literally the bundle of life, of the soul. The secret of the verse, yet the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bond of life. Samuel 1, chapter 25. Considered as the world to come and called heritage by the scripture. Who causes man to merit the heritage of Hashem? Children do. The children cause men to merit the heritage of Hashem. Therefore, happy is the man who has children to whom he may teach the ways of the Torah. It's the end of the section. A man should have children in his youth, as a younger man, and then if possible as an older man. That's not to say to divorce or, God forbid, hope your wife dies so you can have children with another woman. But if you become a widower, God forbid, then you should remarry soon and have more children. Because, as I said, we don't know which set of children will be the more righteous. There is a question that we could ask is, what if you bring Rashaim into the world? Evil children. Children who do not want to learn Torah, who do not follow the ways of their father who's teaching them Torah. Or maybe the father doesn't bring Torah to their children. But we learn from the incident with Hezkiyahu, who saw with Ruach HaKodesh and prophecy that his children would be horrible kings of Israel, would be truly evil people. And God sent a prophet, the prophet Nathan, to him to tell him, you're going to die. Prepare all all your efforts and records and put your affairs in order, because today you die. And Hezekiah said, why? And Nathan's response was, you have no children. And Hezekiah says, but I see they will be Rashaim, evil. And Nathan's response from Hashem, it's not for you to judge what will become of them. They have a tikkun, they have a correction. Bring the children. Evil or righteous, bring the children. They each will have free choice to become righteous. Help them understand that path, how to become righteous by teaching them Torah. But bring the children. Be fruitful and multiply. Section 18 is titled, and she put off her widow's garments. Verse 189. V'tasar bigdei almanuta me'aleha v'gomer tachatze tamar bat Kohen Havat Viki Sod Dehi Azla Pagin Leazna Im Kamuha Deha Ihi Tzaniuta Ishtachat Vatadir Ela Ihi Tzadeket Havat Uvachma Avdat Chai Deha Ihi La Afkarat Garma lagabe ela begin de dia yadat betrachmata istakalat viadihi atat lagabe lemebad tivu ukshot vialda atat viishtadlat viizkada. And she put off her widow's garments. Bereshit chapter 38. Come and see. Could it be that Tamar, a priest's daughter who was always modest, would commit incest with her father-in-law? He answers, she was a righteous woman and did this with wisdom. She was not lewd, but wise, and knew what would become of it. She approached him to do kindness and truth by him. The story of Tamar is really interesting and very hard to understand for most people living with the corruption, being taught with the corruption of Western civilization, that incest, which is different in definition in the Hebrew Bible than modern civilization. But the whole idea of sexual impropriety has nothing to do with morality. It has to do with cause and effect. Selfish desires versus the beneficence and the revelation of light in the world. Tamar, who is the daughter-in-law of Yehuda. She married first the son Er, who was an evil man, and who, rather than sleep with her, to impregnate her, wasted his seed, and so he died. And his brother was sent in because, even though the Torah had not been given, the knowledge was in the world about Yibun, and they knew the soul needed to be brought. So Onan was sent, the second brother was sent in to the tent to sleep with Tamar, and he also, for his reasons, wasted his seed and died. So now you have two sons of Judah who have never been world. Well, there is a way, but it's really very difficult. That way is when a righteous man dies and leaves a widow who is of marriageable age and childbearing age. That widow remarries and has a child. That brings the child of people who were not released through the Yibun. But that's part of God's mercy in the reincarnation laws, and we don't really need to go into great detail about it today. Tamar was the daughter of a priest. Now, who was the priest? The priest was Shem, also known as Melchizedek. And she knew all of these aspects. And so when Judah said, look, I've only got one son left, and he's too young to marry. He's too young to go in to impregnate a woman. He's not yet of that age. And so go back to your father and wait. And when it's time, I'll send for you. And Tamar, in wisdom, meaning intuitively, she knew that the appropriate thing was to be with the father, not the son. But that would have been immodest for her to approach him directly. So she pretended to be a prostitute on the road. He, riding by, chooses to utilize the services of a prostitute. But as we will learn later in the Zohar, he had no choice. He was overcome with a desire to be with a woman at that instant. And he was not able to control that because that was not his correction. His action was to be with the prostitute, which we are told or realize is not a wrong thing, even though the morality of Western civilization implies otherwise. There are two words in Hebrew for prostitute. And the one that's used for Tamar, there's a connection between the word holy, kadosh, and the word, I believe it's zona, which is the word for prostitute in Hebrew. So there's a very interesting development and understanding, which is very deep, on all of these relationships. So Tamar seduces Yehuda, and then when she is found to be pregnant, because it's difficult to hide, he is about to burn her at the stake for being immodest. And she presents him back his own payment for the prostitute. But she never says to him, says in public, you're the father. She never demonstrates her fear that she's going to die, or never tries to save herself other than to rely on his good judgment, relying on Hashem to provide, to bring everything to righteousness. And it is through this action of showing the payment for the prostitute that Judah is forced. He could have said, okay, and burned her anyway. But he is forced to look at his own actions, realize his culpability, and formally accept that, and bring those children into the tribe of Judaism, bring those children into the tribe of Judah. Very interesting process, all of this we will be reading. Verse 190. Yadat yadiya v'ishtadlat v'izkada kuchabarichu avad siyua taman b'hahu ovada v'ita vadrat miyad v'kola hava mine v'itema amayla ate kuchabarichu inun benin me'ita ohara amay minda Ela Vadaihi Itzterika Vyovadada Vila Ita Ahara. Come and see, because she knew what would become of her efforts, the Holy One, blessed be He, aided her in the act, and she conceived immediately. All this was from the Holy One, blessed be He. It may be wondered why the Holy One, blessed be He, did not use another woman to bear these sons, but this one, Tamar. He answers, assuredly she was needed for this, and no other woman would do. Verse 191. And I think you can understand the level of modesty, the level of righteousness that she exhibited in the story that I told you, and in the understanding the story, to really truly understand what the Zohar is saying very cryptically. This was the woman who needed to be the progenitor, the mother of the line of King David, because the two children that she bears, the two souls, Er and Onan, who become her children, become the forebears of Ruth and Boaz, who bring four generations later, they bring King David. And eventually, from the line of King David, we have the Mashiach. And it all started with this action of Tamar. The action that said, what is right is for the next male relative to marry the widow of a man who dies childless. Not just the brother, but if the brother is not willing, or is unable to perform, or for whatever reason it does not happen, the next male relative, because the souls need to be brought through the channel of this wife who becomes the mother. Verse 191. Tirein nashin chavo haminaihu it b'nei zara di Yehuda V'yato minayhu David, Malkahu Shlomo, Malkahu Malkah HaMashiach, Mashika, V'ilein Tirein Nashin, Da'akil Gavna, Didata Marvarut, V'dimitu V'alayhu B'kad Meta, V'inu Nishtadlu, V'yovada Ada. The seed of Yehuda was established with two women who bore King David, King Solomon, and ultimately the Mashiach. The two women, Tamar and Ruth, resembled each other. Both Tamar and Ruth lost their first husbands and replaced them through similar efforts. I never heard that Ruth was the reincarnation of Tamar. But as we know, when one lifetime, the same opportunities are presented to each soul from the previous lifetime. So it makes sense that Ruth would lose her husband because Tamar lost her husband for different reasons. But as I said, I have never read it or heard it, so I'm just guessing whether there's truth in that. Verse 192. Tamar ishtadlat legabe hamuha dihu karev yatir livno demitu imayim tama ishtadlat legabe diktiv ki ra'ata ki gadal shela vehi lo nitna lo leisha uginda ishtadlat Yovada Dalagabe Kamusha. Tamar approached her father-in-law, who was next of kin to his dead sons, and thus worthy of taking her in levirate marriage. The reason for her act is stated in the verse. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given to him to wife. Bereshit chapter 38. She therefore did this by her father-in-law, the next of kin. Verse 193. Rut mit bala ulvatar ishtadlat miovada da legabe nivoaz dikiv vatkal margalotal vetishka ishtadlat Vachade uvatar oledat leileoved veitema amayal la amayla nafekoved meita achara ela vadai hitzterikat velaita achara umitrein ilain itbene veishtaklal zara dehuda. Vatarvaihu bekashrut avdu lemebadtivu iminun metarya leitakna alma levatar. Ruth's first husband died, as did that of Tamar, and then she did the deed by Boaz, as it is written, and uncovered his feet and laid herself down. She then gave birth to Ovid. You might ask why Ovid was not born to another woman instead of in this manner. He answers, assuredly it was necessary that she and not any other woman bore him, for these two, the seed of Yehuda, was built and established. Both did well and brought kindness upon the dead, so they would later be perfected in the world. Ovid did not complete his correction, and the children of Tamar did not complete their correction. But by being brought back into the physical world, they improved. They did some of their tikkun, and then could merit coming again and again and again until their tikkun is complete, as will we. Come again and again and again until our tikkun is complete. Verse 194. Vadahu kema de itmar v'shabeach ani et ha-metim shekavar metu de-ha-kad havo ha-yin v'kad meta la-hava v'ho-shivcha Vitarvai hu ishtadlu lemebad tivu ukshot iminun metaya v'kudsha barichu Yea, the Hahu, Ovada, the Kolahava, Kitka, Yaot, Saka'a, Ihu, Man, the Ishtadal, Bioraita, Yamama, Velelia, Kedi, the Hagita, Bo Yomam, Valaila, the Ma'an, Tishmor, La Sot, the Kol, the Hakatu, Bo Kiaz, Hatsliach, Etterakecha, the Gomer. This is the explanation of the verse. So I praise the dead that are already dead. Kohelet, chapter 4. As long as the husbands of Tamar and Ruth were alive, there was no praise to their name. After they died, their wives were taken in levirate marriage, and the kingdom of David, Solomon, and Mashiach descended from them. Both Tamar and Ruth did kindness and truth by the dead, and the Holy One, blessed be He, helped them in the very act. Thus all is fitting, as it should be. Happy is he who studies Torah day and night, as it is written, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Yehoshua, chapter 1. Section 19 is titled, "And Yosef Was Brought Down to Egypt." We're not going to have time to finish the section, so I won't start it. Does anybody have any questions before I wish you Hanukkah Sameach and Shabbat Shalom? Please join me for my three classes next week. Tuesday at 7:45 Los Angeles time. I'm not sure what the class will be on yet, but it will be as part of the email announcements. And if you're interested in being notified of these classes, please send me a request, and I will add you to that email section. On Wednesday night, we will continue the teaching of the Tree of Life with the Sphira of Chesed, and that class starts at 10 p.m. And Thursday night we will be reading the Zohar from the portion of the week, and that class also starts at 10 p.m. So we wish you all a Hanukkah Sameach, a righteous, wonderful holiday of Hanukkah, which is your last chance to change the decree of your life for this year. You can restrict between now and next Rosh Hashanah, and you will choose a different cassette to play. But during Hanukkah, you can actually recreate your life for the year. All of the various potential cassettes, you can change them all to be higher than they are now, to be closer to Hashem now. And how you do that is through the meditations you do with the lighting of the candles. Hanukkah Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.